It's Saturday, May 14th, 2022.
That's right.
This is Mike McLean, and I am interviewing
Ann Wallenuck, or Annie, whichever you prefer.
You spell your name without an E?
Well, that's officially it's IE, but I made it shorter.
I was corrected by Ann Martin. I'm pretty sure she said, no, you don't add an E on the end.
Oh, I always like an E on the end. Just like, you know, what was her name?
Was there a royal person? With
no, Anne of
Green Gables.
That's right.
There we go.
Yeah, it had to be Anne with an E.
Well, let's say, how did we even end up here with an interview today? So we should describe how we have known each other.
Just happened to move in next door to the McLeans. Bought this house and it was good.
So we're on 49th Street. So we could describe this street, because over the years we've got to be good friends with some of the people on the street. You want to describe your neighbors?
Well, a lot of them.
Or who they are?
They moved away. Yeah. Some of my good neighbors have moved away, but I was fortunate to have them for a while. The best.
Well, let's try and come up with an idea of over time a bit, but your immediate to the south neighbor is Cody and Alyssa
Smelsley,
and they've got a young family, and Cody works with the roofing and whatnot. But
that's right, yeah.
Gee whiz, fella's name, because they actually did our
Hyde,
Doug Hyde, and they did our house last summer, Margaret's house reshingled, and Alyssa is working with Athabasca University.
Right.
And the kids are, just when I pulled up today, one of their maybe older kids was out with a ball hockey on the street, just like
always,
the old days. Yeah.
They're always out there playing.
Yeah. So now you go south of them, and that's Shirley, right?
Sharon.
Sharon. Jeez.
Sharon,
right.
Burgundy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You better have something.
Yes. And
Dockany.
She's, does she still have a dog? Tippy,
yes.
Tippy,
okay. She's got Tippy.
Good dog, yeah.
He comes to greet you every time, if you only just stop to say hello.
And if you go across the street, we've got Lincoln and Sheena Wood, also with a young family.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
Jack and Shirley Nixon.
Shirley Nixon, yeah. And I just want to say Jason Ponto and his spouse Corinne, and they've got a newborn. Well, now a little older than
they're
a newborn.
They're up on the hill, aren't they?
Well, they're right in the heritage home that used to be.
Oh, are they in that home?
And
okay.
Is it Bruner who used to live there, the teacher?
Right.
So it's a really
and
nice
away, yeah.
Older home, but it's been well maintained, and they're there. And in Lincoln and Sheena's house, it used to be
Daisy
Boven.
Boven, yes.
Yeah.
She was a very special lady, too.
Yeah.
But I was hoping when we moved in, we'd be having tea and visiting,
yeah.
But unfortunately, she passed away.
So now we keep coming along, and we have Pat and Morley Breckenridge.
Right.
And
Nick and...
Oh, geez. Yeah,
Kuchers.
Nick and Jean Kuchar.
Right.
And on the corner are, or sorry, we can't skip Joanne. Now,
no.
What's her last name again?
Mitchell. I think it's Mitchell.
And
yeah.
Her two daughters have families in the area, and she
right.
moved back here to be closer to the family,
right?
Right.
Well, one daughter works for the
university. Jerry Smith, yeah.
But I have met them, but...
They're great.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I know, Mike. When you were here, you organized what did you call it, a party?
We did have a good block party. I would have to give most of the credit to Mom at the time, though. She wanted to make sure for the town centennial that we
That's right.
blocked the street off. We had a party. And I remember the weather was a little bit iffy,
but it still was okay. It turned out really good.
If you remember, we started up the party. We had the fellow that does the pig roast that I think he's more or less retired from it, but he had a special trailer, right? What was his name?
Oh, don't ask me for sure, Mike.
I'm thinking he was from Newfoundland originally, and they're still around, and they go to the Legion quite a bit, and I should know his name, but he did the pig roast. But then one of the Kislik boys was in town, and he just happened to be in the area, and he just kind of pulled in, and he unloaded all kinds of drumming stuff. Do you remember that?
Oh, well, I remember... oh dear, what's her name? She was doing the drums.
Oh, Severna.
Severna
Bosick, yes.
That's right.
Yeah, she does. She does still drum at some of the United Church services.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
And then there's some new people in the corner where Dustin and
Right,
Katrina.
The corner house there. Dustin and Katrina, and what was funny about them was that they were from the same town in Nova Scotia that we came from, which was just kind of weird to find out long after the fact.
Yeah, well, they were good people too.
Really cool.
But these people, her name is Lisa, but I don't know her last name.
Oh,
Lisa and I think Dennis.
Lisa and Dennis.
I think that's what...
Okay.
And anyway, she was walking her dog up here and she says, "Hi, I'm Lisa." I said, "Well, I've already met you," but because when they were just moving in, and I was in the back alley there, and she was loading up. And
okay.
She said, "We're just moving into that house in the corner."
Yeah.
But you know.
Well,
this is a busy thing.
It's a good block, because.
Oh yeah.
It's got a good mix of people. It's really fun to come along as I come through, and I see. There's kids' bikes thrown
That's
around
right.
like kids do, and they
kids
have
playing and
they're playing. And you also have folks that, like yourself, really have nice properties. You guys like to grow things, and you know, you've always been that way about your garden and
yes,
everything around.
I love growing things.
Yeah.
Maybe that's in my genes, I don't know.
Well, now we should talk about that. So you could describe that your family was based in Richmond Park.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I was born in Smoky Lake.
You were born in Smoky Lake.
And I was 5 years old when we moved.
So do you have memory of Smoky Lake?
A little. Not.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little. But not as...
For the record, do you mind stating the year that you were born in Smoky Lake?
1935.
1935. A good, clean number. You can remember that.
I wonder how my mom had time. Oh, busy time of the year, but anyways.
So, 1935 in Smoky Lake, how, like you wouldn't have known at the time, obviously, but how would a birth happen? How would...
Oh, we were...
Just...
The four of us, the older, my two older brothers, and myself and my younger sister, we were all born with a midwife in a little hut.
Did you ever, you know the name of the midwife who delivered you?
I think it was Mrs. Serafin Chan. Can you pronounce it?
I'll leave that to you, eh?
Okay.
So,
I think, I'm not sure.
And did you meet her?
Oh, yeah, later on, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but, of course, she's long gone.
But she would have delivered quite a few babies in her time,
Yeah, I think she did, yeah.
Did she deliver most of your family or siblings, would you say?
Well, just the two older brothers and myself and my younger sister.
Okay.
And then we moved over to Crust, what you want to call it, Pleasant View.
Pleasant View?
And then, of course, my mom, 7 years later, they had another family, and then they were in the hospital, at the Basque Hospital.
This is the name of the midwife who delivered you and some of your siblings in Smoky Lake. But that's S-A-N-A-F-E-R-A-N-C-H-A-T.
Gotcha.
And so I wonder, not knowing a lot about naming conventions, but Chernichan and
Serafinchan.
Yeah, so there's a similar
the Chan
way of thing. Saying a name there, right? Okay. Okay, cool. And so you would have met her. How old were you? I'm just curious.
Well, when we went back for a visit.
Just visiting.
Yeah.
At what point were you, like, aware that this is the woman who helped my mom give birth? Like, did you have that kind of
really
idea?
Only what mom said, she was the one that delivered us, but no.
Do you remember anything about her in particular?
Oh, no? She was a big lady. Big I remember
lady?
That.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah.
But I remember when we moved over to the homestead.
Yeah.
I was 5 years old.
So you're five. Moved. Do you remember that kind of feeling of we're moving and this is where we're going to live? Did you?
I barely remember moving, but
yeah.
I do remember the staying overnight at Boyle somewhere in this. It wasn't a very nice place. We had a bunk bed with straw or hay, I don't remember.
In Boyle, yeah.
Yes, that was in Boyle.
So what is your recollection of Boyle at the time? Did it feel like a...
Don't remember.
Nothing much, eh?
Just that place where we stayed overnight. And then we drove over to close to the river, and we stayed over at Berezhuk's place.
Berezhuk?
Berezhuk.
Berezhuk.
Berezhuk's
place. Berezhuk, okay.
And I remember, kind of remember sleeping over there, but... And then we went to the river. You know, my brother would be able to help you a lot better with that. He's still around, but he's starting to forget things.
Well, how many in your family then?
Seven of us.
Yeah. So let's go from oldest to youngest.
John. George passed away.
George.
And myself.
Annie.
And Nancy.
Nancy.
She's married to, was married to Steve Kravitz.
Steve Kravitz.
And then Francis Parco at St. Albert.
Francis.
And William. That's
William.
William, and he passed away. And then my youngest baby sister, Marianne.
Marianne.
At Marathorpe Barker.
Okay. So seven of you. And how many of you born Smoky Lake? How many born?
Four were born
four
in
Smoky Lake,
and the other three were born here. Modern.
And the modern siblings.
The modern siblings.
Yeah.
Of course, mom and dad, they were smart. They had babysitters already
built
in, so we helped take care of those little ones.
Did you? You did your share of minding the younger ones, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
we did.
Okay.
That was the way things were in big families.
So you guys were out in Richmond Park from your age of five, and so you grew up to see that develop.
Not Richmond Park, Pleasant View.
Pleasant View, sorry. Gotcha.
Across the Deep Creek.
Okay.
And then I moved to Richmond Park when I married Victor.
Oh, yeah, of course. So that's Pleasant View when you were, okay.
That's where we moved to a homestead.
Yes. How old were you then?
Well, when we moved, I was five. Yeah.
But when you guys ended up going to Richmond Park?
Oh, how old was I?
Yeah.
19, I think.
Okay. Would you say I was a newlywed at the time and we moved? That's how your life started with Victor?
That's right, yeah.
And that was the homestead?
Well, no, the homestead was my parents' place.
Yeah.
But Victor, they had more developed.
Yeah.
A little bit more modern.
So at what point were you guys neighbors with the Regas?
Oh, they were way north of us. Probably about 2 miles, kilometers, I don't know which one.
But close enough type
close
thing.
Close enough, yeah.
And would you say your families were close, like in terms of
not really,
growing up
no.
with the kids?
It no.
was, people were probably busy that
Well,
I don't know.
Actually, George moved at it in those early years.
Yeah.
He moved away. And the old folks moved to BC.
Yes.
But there was a sister, and I'm not sure if she's still around or not, Annie.
Well, you know Gina Paysant.
Yes.
That did
a
feature there and took that to Ukraine, and she was still hoping to do a live theatrical adaptation kind of. We're actually working on it before the COVID pandemic kind of disrupted everyone's lives.
It sure did,
and
didn't
it? I heard in the last week she's asking around, like, people want to still get going on this, so.
Hmm.
So yeah, I don't have someone in my childhood growing up and whatnot that I would say there's that famous person. Like, you kind of had them as a neighbor though, George Riga.
Yeah, well, they were neighbors,
yeah.
But more likely neighbors with Victor's parents and the old George's parents. Because, like I said, he had moved on to first job. I think he went to work at the bridge. Don't we need a new bridge?
Maybe we'll have the next George Riga lose a bit of a finger on this new bridge that we're going to get.
Maybe it would be nice if we finally get to see it, but
yeah. Oh, we will. I think so.
It's a long time coming.
So what are your memories of, you know, to come from Richmond Park to come into town to maybe pick up supplies and things like this? Was that a big deal, or was it just?
Was a big deal when we lived at Pleasant View.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My dad would take a trip twice a year with horse and load up enough flour for the winter. And
so that was like a really big deal then.
It was,
yeah.
Huh?
Would you accompany your father?
Not too often. The boys got a chance to go.
So you say not too often, it means you did come in once in a while.
The only time I remember coming in was when we came in for our TB shots or tests.
Oh, yeah.
And I must have been, seems to me we had to ride the cage across the river.
Well, let's just say somebody listening to this has no idea what we're talking about.
The little cage?
Yeah.
That's what they had to use for crossing the river in the spring.
Before the bridge.
Before the bridge,
yeah.
and before the, you know, when the ice melted.
Yes.
Well, they had to use this little cage. It would hold about, I don't know, 10 people maybe.
So is it fun and exciting, or more just kind of scary?
A little bit scary.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you recall about the procedures? Do you remember how you would board the thing?
We had to climb upstairs all the way up.
Yes.
And then he'd ferry the cage over, and we'd climb in and take us across, and we'd climb down. I think there were stairs on both sides.
You'd almost think they'd have to be, because it would
yeah.
be...
Right.
Elevated.
Yeah.
And so about 10 people capacity, eh?
I remember Victor telling me how his dad had to take some hogs for sale, and they took those hogs on the cage because he needed to do a payment or something. And anyways, would have been interesting to see that.
It almost sounds like the little logic puzzle where the person's got to cross a river and they can only take two out of three with a chicken and a wolf, or I don't even remember, but yeah.
Well, anyways, and then there was, for the summer, there was the ferry.
Okay.
No, well, and then we'd board the ferry and go back and forth.
The ferry, would it have been quite a more relaxed way to cross?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about, like, who was the ferry operator or anything like that?
No, I don't remember. It's in the book.
Well, do you recall, because someone was telling me Ted Madigan was one of the operators of one of the...
Could have been, but I didn't know
the
people that...
Yeah.
think it's in our Athabasca history book.
Oh, yeah.
It was okay. We didn't get to go to town too often. My grandfather had I don't remember the make of the car, but anyways, he'd take us in. And I remember getting violently sick. The fumes were so... I'd get sick every time we went.
Must have been burning oil or something, eh?
Probably, but hey, it was transportation. Yeah. Got to go to town, to Athabasca.
So Athabasca was a pretty well-established town. There was lots to see, and that was an exciting trip to make.
Well, it probably was, and I remember when I had my first ice cream.
Oh?
Somebody bought me an ice cream cone.
Yeah. Do you remember where it was?
It probably was, I don't know if it was the Royal Cafe, if you remember the Royal Cafe. It's over there where that liquor store is now.
Huh. Was it just like a soft or a hard ice cream?
Do you remember any? It was a hard ice cream, okay. But I wasn't that fond of it. I didn't know what it was anyways. Yeah. No, we never had ice cream. Maybe we did when we were small children, maybe at Smoky Lake, but this is what I remember about it, coming to Athabasca and getting my first ice cream cone. This nice person bought me an ice cream cone.
You say this nice person, it sounds...
He was a neighbor.
Oh, okay.
My friend's dad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Isn't that something, would he ever think that's going to be a memory you'll carry for...
Probably not, but...
Isn't that something? We do that all the time, I bet.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe we do. People remember, but we don't.
Well, at least somebody remembers, you know?
That's right, yeah.
So, I feel like we could talk and it could just shoot off in all these directions, but I guess I do want to... If it's okay, I want to... No, how did your brother William decide he was going to establish a foundry?
He worked for a person that owned a foundry in Edmonton. And I guess he decided that's what he wanted to do. He had one in the city.
Do you recall where he worked in Edmonton?
No.
Because there's an older foundry that was...
You know, I don't...
I actually went to it because I remember when I worked at a place, we would take our offcuts from aluminum frame making and I would take it to a foundry and they would melt it down, and I figure we got a little money out of that, a big barrel of scrap aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an older foundry that shut down.
It probably was
not long
it.
After there.
It could have been it.
Maybe.
It was an older person that was operating it, somebody that really knew their business.
Yeah, because it would have been in the older part of Edmonton, north of the downtown. So we should mention at this point that you were born a Popowich.
Mm-hmm. Because
this
right.
is William Popowich, your brother, we're talking about.
That's right.
Right. And you would say of your siblings, maybe he and you were closer, eh?
Well, he was my baby brother, so...
Yeah.
And we have... help look after him. We have some good memories, but
I think I've mentioned that you guys have a similar unmistakable resemblance.
Popowich features. Yes,
yeah.
Okay,
so he had worked in a foundry and he thought, that's for me.
And then he did have operate a foundry in the city, but then things got tough, so he moved out all the way, where he is established, north.
Well, I just remember it was on the way to the Alpac Mill.
Yeah, and that's a long ways from Athabasca anyways.
Because now I'm trying to remember what took me out to the foundry, and if I went out twice, because I remember I took my nephew Patrick with me one time.
Right, I remember that.
And who did I go with? Was it Harvey Scott or somebody or something odd for whatever reason. I think I went with somebody.
Was he doing a bench for you or something like that? Because he did a lot of those.
Well, I know that
benches around town.
The bench that was put to the east end of the park down by the river was one of the last ones the town had that was his pieces, like the ends that he forged, yeah, and poured.
Well, he did a lot of nice work, for sure.
I have a feeling it had to do with the bench that we went out there, and it might have been with Harvey, to tell you the truth, Harvey Scott, because I think Harvey wanted to make sure there was a bench. It was his idea.
It was a good idea. I wish they'd have a bench between up in the hill when I go down to Bylow's and coming back up. I wish there was a bench. There used to be one, but why isn't there a bench there for an older person to sit down and rest?
Yeah, there's a lot of hills in this town. Let's just put it that
way. Going down is fine, but going back up is a little bit of a challenge.
So do you remember William moving back and establishing the foundry?
Sort of remember that, but
I'm curious about your impressions of it. Did you get to visit and watch him do some work? Did you have any time for that?
I did go a couple of times to see all that heavy work. It looked like very back-breaking work.
Yeah, not easy stuff.
Not easy stuff, no.
And then was there some training and coursework he took at Nate at one point?
He may have. I can't remember that.
For some reason, I don't know if it was one of those times we were up at the park and he was helping the lions out with all the benches and tables that he's done that too, right?
Right.
But I feel like he was talking about almost living out of his truck while he was taking a course for a couple weeks and just getting food out of the grocery store.
Probably. It wasn't easy for him, no.
But also someone who just didn't, he had to get the course done and get back and get to work. I don't know. I just got that impression from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he had the ambition, that's for sure. But then, you know, it wasn't that profitable of a thing, that foundry.
Yeah.
Build that great big shop and it all was expensive. He did some real nice work.
Well, what we can see of his work easily is just down at the river, for example.
Yeah.
There's the plaques, there's the poured ends to the tables and benches. And in fact, did he do the plaque that's over at the Native Friendship Center? Because that's a pretty big plaque. I don't know.
You know, I'm not sure. Anyway, but I know he did the sign for the senior center.
Oh, okay.
And he did a lot of signs people wanted their name or, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Spears are always saying how he made them a beautiful gate sign.
Okay.
So they got that too.
Wow. Yeah, it's not everyone who can say that.
No.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Where are they out, still in Rochester area?
I think okay. So, yeah.
So Bonnie and
Larry,
right.
I think they're retired now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Bonnie is, but I think Larry retired from teaching.
Yeah, I believe he was principal at some point before I left high school.
Oh.
Maybe caught him for a year.
Okay.
I don't know. But, and Bonnie, too. I think she was teaching around that time, and she's always taught phys ed, right? And other things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, their family's always been really sporty and, yeah. So, I kind of want to talk about your gardening, because that was a big part of your relationship with my mom, anyway. You guys always had things to talk about and share information together.
For sure, because your mom knew all the answers and I had all the questions.
Oh, but there was times she'd be saying something about Annie did or said this, and she's learned from you too, so it was a two-way street.
Well, I learned lots from her, and the way she said she'd read all gardening books all winter, and then she'd put it to using. And you know those plant sales, all that work that they did in your backyard. That was really nice. But it was also kind of, I would say, taxing on people with the, always used your backyard, just everybody would just come in there. And
well, Mom didn't make a secret of the fact that it was a relief that you guys moved in to be the neighbors, because if you don't get along with your neighbors, it's hard,
it's bad
sometimes.
Well, I was happy to have her for a neighbor. Still miss her.
Yeah.
For sure.
So,
but that's life for us, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say we could talk a little bit about the family you and Victor had. So you have
Glenn and Vic.
Glenn and Vic.
Just two sons.
Yeah. And, but then from there, Glenn, I can say Glenn and Monica, and I don't
mm-hmm.
work closely with Monica, but we're both at Athabasca University, and
right.
Lindsay and Cole.
Right.
And leading up to something here, because this is a big part of your life now, is let's describe the situation with Lindsay and your what keeps
Lindsay
you busy a lot.
Lindsay and Josh, and they have three little kids, John's the oldest, and he was three. And the two little twins are going to be two in September, end of September. And they are very busy little guys.
So in a week, would you be over there at least twice a week?
I go twice a week,
yeah.
Usually.
And I'm around kids very infrequently, as you know, but I do spend a lunch hour, let's say, with the mentors. And that is a lot of energy.
It is.
And I'm trying to imagine.
It's a lot of energy.
A full day with, because I know a little bit about the three great grandkids, and they're all active. Like, I've seen the pictures.
Oh, yes, they're busy people. Especially the little 1 year old. Well, he's going a year and a half now, but the little boy is. They climb on everything, and they want to keep climbing. Oh.
So you would say, whether you're 19 or you'd had your family and they were growing up, but you always had this idea, like, at some point I'm going to be someone's Baba or great Baba, and I'm going to be this busy? Did you always just assume?
No, I didn't.
You never did?
No, I didn't.
Yeah?
No, but it's really is a blessing. Those little kids are so precious.
Well, and the pictures you shared of, especially there's the one of Glenn. I think he's got John.
Right.
In his lap. I mean, $1 million.
Oh, for
you
sure.
Know?
Glenn just adores those little children. That's one grandpa that was happy to be a grandpa.
Yeah. So just in the context of you and your history with this area, but the fact that Glenn, your son's got the Athabasca Automotive,
right.
And Boyle too, right?
Right.
Boyle
so
Automotive.
Far.
So we could describe that as a kind of a focus on parts and equipment and tools, right?
Right.
So if you got, I think a lot of what they do is sort of like heavier equipment and trucks, but
parts,
things like that.
Mainly
eh?
Parts, and I know they do cut a lot of hoses, whatever that involves. But
and he employs a few people, and
quite a few.
Probably he would be someone who could tell us all kinds of things about the supply chain,
right?
Disruptions of the last few years, I imagine.
Yes, with this COVID and not being able to sometimes get through, it's
so. Whatever period when he was a little guy, but is there a time where you thought, like, this son of mine is going to be a business owner? That's just clear to you? Or is it just a bit of a, this has happened?
No, it just.
Yeah.
It just happened something. He didn't want to work for anybody else, so he wanted to be his own boss. I think that was the thing.
Yeah.
He just, Well, he went in to with Jerry Williams, you know. That was supposed to be a partnership, and unfortunately Jerry passed away and Glenn got left doing that on his own, which was a little bit tough, but I think he's done very well.
Now, when you think about growing up to where you're spending time every week in the household with Lindsay and the little ones, that it's hard to even compare the kids in today and how you grew up. Like,
oh, what, for sure.
Off the top of your head, what kind of chores were you doing from every single day?
Looking after the siblings, yeah. The little younger ones, and
yeah.
We had to do our share.
What are some
weed
of the chores
the
that you were, okay, weeding all the time, weeding?
And doing dishes,
yeah.
Which we didn't like. Helping mom all the time, yeah. I was 8 years old when I first milked the cow.
Did you get it right pretty well?
I think I did, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think, again, I don't know these things, but some people just don't know how to do that,
well,
right?
I did learn,
yeah.
And then once from then, you know, once you knew how, you were out there helping. But
do you feel like talking about how you met Victor at all? Is that?
It was at a dance, I think.
So this is Victor Wallenuck, and you met him at a dance. So these would be the kind.
That would have been at Laura School, I think.
Which one now?
Laura School. That's where we went to school. It was Laura in Pleasant View.
Pleasant View, okay.
And
so,
it's called Laura School.
So is he someone you knew of, or did you meet him?
I knew of.
Oh, okay. You knew of.
Mm-hmm. And he was a good dancer.
Oh,
I loved
he was.
To dance.
Oh, I didn't know any of that.
No, where
okay.
would you have seen us dancing? That was way, way back then.
Well, the way Herman talked, there was always a dance every weekend.
There was a dance
somewhere.
Well, not every weekend, but well,
okay.
we didn't get to
yeah.
go until we were older. We didn't
yeah.
get to go to Richmond Park even.
Yeah.
I think I remember the first time I went to Richmond Park. That was something. 10 miles away.
So you knew of him, but you met him at the dance, and he was a good dancer.
Right.
And I guess he just made it clear he was really interested in you and wanted
oh,
to see you again.
Know. I don't know about that part,
yeah.
but
oh, you don't
I was interested
yeah.
in him, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
So how many dates did it take before it was clear that you guys were going to start a family
oh, gosh.
Together?
I don't know if we even dated
yeah.
sort of a thing. It was you went to the dances and
it,
that's where people used to meet. A lot of romances started with the dances.
Was there a point where you felt he has to meet my folks?
Oh.
And do you remember any of that kind of thing?
They just came over, him
yeah.
and him and Steve Gravitz, they come visiting to our place, and I guess they met the folks that way. We probably served them tea, whatever. I don't remember that part, Mike. Just
do you remember the whole wedding
oh yeah
affair and everything, how
I
that worked out?
The wedding.
A lot of work.
It was a lot of work in those days. The neighbors and mom, they all did the catering. They
yeah.
did it all themselves. And ladies would come and help a couple days before the wedding, make the cabbage rolls and all that stuff. And
so
yeah,
then you
got to
make it and
mom.
You got to store it for a little bit.
And we didn't have freezers
yeah.
or fridges.
Yeah.
So you had to put it down the well or whatever they did.
Maybe that's why the parties were so good, because you had to work so hard to get it to happen that you made the most of it or something.
Oh, I don't know, but it was, and I thought we had a big wedding, but there weren't that many people. We had it right on the yard.
Okay.
Of course, Victor always said Dad was really smart because they had to build a garage first. So got him to build this
yeah.
garage so we could have our dance in the garage.
Yeah. So that was your garage?
That was the garage,
yeah.
yeah. just got knocked down not too long ago. It was still standing, but.
So this is the same property that your grandson Cole currently maintains and owns? No?
No, it was my home place.
We're back to Pleasant View?
We're back to Pleasant View. Boy, that's where the wedding was.
That's where the wedding was, okay.
At my parents' place.
Okay.
And then after we got married, then Steve and Nancy used that same garage.
Oh, nice.
And George and Mary used that same garage. So, so they all...
You're saying it just got knocked down, hey?
Just not too long ago, yeah.
Huh.
A few years ago. Well, you know, Dennis Popovich owns that property now.
Okay.
Dennis.
And we're talking Dennis, Mary's son.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And we should say Mary Popovich is not like a block away.
Yeah.
And of the people you see on a regular basis, she's probably one of the ones you see a lot of.
Sure. She takes me everywhere. Since I quit driving, she hauls me around wherever I need to go.
In fact, you are both planning to go out tonight to this fish and game banquet.
Well, I sort of twisted her arm. But I thought, well, it would be nice to go and support them anyways.
Yeah. So you've got a family you're starting in Richmond Park.
Right.
How many years did you guys have a farm out there?
Well, Victor's parents, had the... It was only one quarter section.
Okay.
And he talks about how him and his mom used to pull these stumps. She was out there working on the field. And, of course, his dad was a carpenter, so he was working out quite a bit.
Okay.
But, it was how it was. And then when Victor and I got married, there was no running water and there was no power. We lived in the house that his dad built.
Right.
And in 1967, we built our new home.
So with the new home, power, running water?
Right.
So how long did you go without?
Well, we got married in 1954.
Okay.
And we didn't build a new home till 1967. But we did have power in the old house. We had power, but no running water. We ran with the pails like this.
So you had a whole period of the boys getting out of diapers without running water.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there were no Pampers or Huggies.
No.
No. Wow. Yeah, it was different.
You must have just said, you just go run naked in the summer. You're not going to have to wear diapers.
No, I didn't say that. But, you know, you live through it.
Yeah.
I only had the two boys. Think about my Victor's sister that had the girl and then the little boy and then twins. And then she had two more kids after that. And, diapers hanging all the time.
Yeah. So 67, new house, and at that time... All the stuff you'd expect in a home of that period must have felt good. Did you have a sort of celebration when you kind of officially?
No, we didn't,
like that?
But we should have, I guess. It was nice. It really was. John built that house. You know, his brother was a carpenter.
Okay.
And he built our house for us.
So this would be John Wallenick.
That's right.
And I've met John, right?
Right, you did, I think.
And
did.
Is it John who had all the apples all the time?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Those apple trees,
Yeah.
He had everything. That guy was a gardener.
But is he the reason you guys have an apple tree in your yard?
No, this was here.
That was already there.
There were two of them, but they both had the bun now. It's got to come down. I sure enjoyed those apples. They were so good. Everybody should have an apple tree.
You always told me I'd eat them too soon. I always liked them.
But you liked them like that. Yeah.
So what's the strong memories you have of living out there with the from the new home on, like what kept your days busy? What sort of things were the regular?
Well, you know, summer it was the garden.
Yeah.
I always had a big garden. And in winter, well, we were busy with the home and school, and Victor was always involved with the Farmers Union and what other organizations were there. But yeah, meetings and then occasional dance and socializing with the neighbors. They'd come down, we'd play cards. And
you know, I got to know Victor for a little while because being neighbors, and he did seem like somebody who was really involved in his community in different ways.
He was, yes, and he was always interested in what was going on around him. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think he coached the baseball team,
oh,
or softball, whatever you call it, for 1 year. He loved his sports. He loved softball or baseball.
Well, as you've mentioned, you get sore back after a while, and the sorts of things you want to do, it's hard to believe we get to a point where the things we love, we have to give them up.
It's kind of sad, but
yeah,
we should. Some of us are too stubborn to admit it. Time to give up, but I'm not going to.
Did he also do, he was like a school inspector or something, wasn't he?
He was a trustee.
He was a trustee,
yeah.
I see. And that he would have to visit schools and...
I think, and as a matter of fact, my dad was
meetings?
Secretary
oh.
of the Laura School for years and years.
The Laura School.
Yes,
yeah.
The Laura School.
Like L-A...
L-A-U-R-A.
Like the yeah. name. Okay.
That school, I think... It was standing. I don't know if it's standing anymore, but
okay.
It was still standing. Just Vic made a call, not Cole. William made a sign, and he's got the sign there.
So, okay.
So if the school isn't there, the sign's still up, I think. But anyways, that's where we went to school. Hoofing it uphill both ways, you know, as the saying goes, but yeah. But I was going to get back to, Dad was secretary,
yeah.
And Victor came over to see Dad about something. And Dad said, oh, she thought he came to see her. I didn't know. I didn't think that at all. But anyways, he was.
Was your dad, did he have a sense of humor to tease you a little?
Yeah, he
oh,
did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, I remember that when Victor came over. We weren't going out yet then.
Oh, okay. But the idea was there?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was pretty handsome.
Yeah. Well, that helps.
That helps, yeah. Ah, yes, Mike, that's the way it is. That's life. And it goes by so quickly, you don't even know where it goes.
You guys moved into town to this home. Was it in
2004?
So 2004. What was it like to leave Richmond Park? Like, was it time for you, or was it kind of?
It was
not
because Victor's
easy.
Health was
okay.
Not that good anymore,
yeah.
And it was just too much. We had a huge yard, and it was just too much for him. And then when he did move here, he wasn't very happy here, I don't think. Because of his health, I think,
yeah.
Mostly.
Well, when I came to visit, and over time, you could really see, like, a person's health in decline. It,
yeah.
It seemed like you were such a caregiver, like, really attentive and lots of things. Just all the little things that you... seem to
try to do
want well and want him to be eating and thinking about what will he eat, and you were doing that a lot. And then there was that period where you guys had a little dog that seemed to be a good little
that
buddy
was Victor's
to him. Yeah,
yeah, he was just what a little dog that
Scooter
was. Scooter. He was such a loyal to his master.
Yeah.
I walked him, but I looked after him, but boy, he sure was Victor's buddy. I suppose all seniors should have a little dog, but I didn't want another little dog. Just a good thing.
Whereabouts did you decide you're going to go work at Value Drug Mart?
I was working at Robinson's Bubles.
Oh.
And of course my friend Pat came to see me and she said, "You should come work for us. That boss is so nice." So I did apply and they hired me.
Was the boss Neil?
No. It was...
He'd come along later, I guess.
Yes, yeah. If it had been Neil, maybe I would have still stayed. I don't know.
Neil Cameron. Okay.
Neil Cameron was... I'm sure he's a very good boss. But it was Mr. Onright.
Onright.
Well, he was very nice, yeah.
No
he
kidding.
He was good, yeah.
That, you know, I knew this, but I've forgotten these things myself.
Because
his son
Onright.
Is the sports caster, Jay Onright, of
Do
course.
Do you still see him sometimes?
No.
I haven't seen him. I used to see him
occasionally. Oh, on the TV I've seen him pretty recent. But I don't know where he's living. I mean, he's got to be close to his industry, right? So imagine he's one of the bigger cities.
He did come down for Patrick Loss's funeral.
Oh, I
see. He came down for that. I saw him then.
So you worked when his father ran the Value Drug Mart.
Right.
And
then he built the new store, because it was over here, where it's next to the Scotiabank, that property there.
Oh.
I think that's where.
Just north of Scotiabank.
Yes. And then he built that new store, and I remember hauling merchandise in buggies across the street. Was quite a job moving all that.
So this connects somewhat to Herman Light's interview in that he recalls, if I'm not mistaken, when that was the drugstore, there was a coffee counter. Is that right? He just remembers that that's where a lot of the chit-chat of people and lots of things happened.
See, there. I don't remember being a coffee counter. There was
maybe
one.
Maybe I'm mixing it up.
At Bubles.
Okay.
They had a coffee shop there. And the people used to come in and have coffee and visit. And Mrs. Elkard was ran for a long time. She worked there at that coffee counter.
So you worked at the Value Drug Mart, but you were poached from what's now Bubles. As somebody was like, you should come here now. And how many years did you work at the Value Drug Mart? Because you retired from that job when it was in the current location, correct?
Right, okay. Right. Seems to me, I think it was 13 years. I'm not sure.
You worked 13 years, yeah.
7 at Bubles.
Uh-huh.
And 13 years at Value.
Is this the period that Victor was sort of minding the grandkids?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That was his joy in his life.
Okay. So he was the one that prepared their little meals.
All right.
What was he always making
Hot
for them?
Hot dogs and craft dinner. Oh, wow. Lindsay still talks about it.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, she does serve her kids hot dogs, too. But, yeah, that was... his specialty. And once in a while he'd take Cole to Mike's down there when it was down here. Mike's pizza.
Was it Taste Buds?
Was
at
it
the
Taste
time,
Boys?
Maybe?
Well
the
anyways,
dentists?
Yeah, and they used to have onion rings. I think Cole still remembers that.
Oh wow.
They had onion rings.
That would be a fun little trip with the grandpa there, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
While they waited for Lindsay, she was already in school.
Mm. Well, that's something a lot of people don't get, a grandfather to have that time with the grandkids. That's
pretty
cool.
I think Cole was only 9 months old when Victor was looking after them. I may be mistaken, but he was 9 months old when Monica went to work because she was home for a while and then.
You've said the name, and now I'm thinking about Monica as someone I know, but not really well, and I've always thought it's kind of neat the way the odd time I see you guys all together. It's been a while, but I really like the way she drops off some of her beautiful pottery. I think she saves some of the best pieces for you.
I think she's got some of the best pieces she saved for herself.
Well, but of course,
I have some nice pieces.
Yeah, you and do. Really nice stuff.
Really.
And it looks great around
the place. She is very talented with that pottery, yeah.
She got into the pottery club, and she's been with it for a while.
Quite a while, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they are having a sale this year.
That's right, and it's coming
June.
Up. Yeah.
Can't miss it.
So the thing is, she also seems to always have kind of a new thing she's
ideas,
trying to do
yes.
and really interesting
with her
that
mushrooms
way.
And
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why they always like to have her there.
What's Monica's maiden name?
Ashby,
you of know. Course. I know
Charlie,
Al.
You know, Al
well,
and
Al,
Charlie.
Actually, Charlie, but I know Al from Trivia Night, of all things. Did
oh,
you know this?
Oh, right. Okay.
In fact, I think Al might be friends with, I don't remember why he ended up coming, but he'd come out a few times, and he's got some good trivia skills, I'll tell you that right now.
No, they're all pretty skillful.
I would not say Al's a talkative
no,
person, but
he isn't.
But then he knows things, and
right.
There you go. Well, I feel like we had a pretty good visit. Well, thank you for your time, and I do hope we get another chance at this.
We will if you feel like you want to come and chat. We'll we'll do that sometimes.
I should say that this whole project, you know, I haven't been as involved as some people, but right now Mavis Jacobs is really one of the coordinators and.
Right.
And that's somebody who just seems to have a lot of energy to put into projects and very effective use of time. So I'm aware that we're trying to get some things done before the end of May.
Oh, my goodness.
And if I have a many faults, one big one is that I do tend to let things
I wrote out
go
procrastination
on
2,000 times in school.
Oh,
and I didn't finish in time, so I had to write it out 2,000 more times. I know how to spell it.
I bet you do.
I bet I do.
Are you kidding me?
My teacher, we had this teacher. He was great at thinking of punishment.
In a good way, or do you?
In a good way.
Okay.
He was okay, but
wow.
Imagine.
And so there was a reason. Did you fail to hand in some homework in time?
Of course.
Of course.
That's what it was.
So I don't expect that you had many troubles with teachers over the years.
No, I didn't.
Just
I never got
late with the homework.
Just homework. Well, that's probably my own fault, but.
Now, there's a way a person's pretty honest when they've had lots of a life, like you've raised families and so on. And I must say, if I had to guess, you were really good in school, like in your subjects.
Well,
would you say so?
I wouldn't say so because math was a downfall with me.
Yeah.
I loved English language and art. Of course, I loved art. But the teacher we had, the last one of my teachers, he used to love social studies and he'd say, now we're going to have social studies, and he'd go on and on because he was everywhere. He was a sergeant major in the Army, and he saw a lot of the world, and he liked to talk about it. And when he'd say social studies, we'd all groan. That's not what we wanted to listen to for 3 hours. But it was good. He was all right. Of course, he treated the pupils like a sergeant major, like they were in the Army, some of them.
Do you feel with math, because like this seems to be weaker subject for lots of people.
For girls.
In North America, even. But just
my brothers,
maybe it's not that we're the problem, you know?
I don't know. I think I just, just didn't seem to. I remember studying the times tables over and over. And I used to know quite well, but now I have the calculator, so I don't have to worry.
I almost wonder if you were in a different period and you went on to college, university, I can imagine that pretty easily.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah?
And that was one thing that I regretted in my lifetime, that I did not go to high school.
Okay.
We had grade 9 by correspondence, and that's as far as I went.
Okay.
So there you go. So you see what... some people, there were a few that went. Victor's sister was determined she was going to be a nurse.
Uh-huh.
And she used to catch a ride with the truck,
cattle
truck, to go to, I don't know how she got to the city, but she did become a nurse. She was determined. And then there was a lady that became a school teacher. She went on to school.
So,
but the... You know, not many people from there really got to high school. That was how it was.
Yeah, I guess
there was no school bus, and you had to either board in town.
In fact, I believe Steve Kamelchuk was one of those students that boarded and finished his schooling.
And he's a school, and was a school teacher.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Isn't that something, though, just by difference of a few decades, you...
Oh, for sure.
Completely different life. Do you feel like you even have time to think about that? I mean...
Well, I don't really dwell on it, but then my sister Frances and William, they stayed at the hostel, and Marianne boarded out, and they all got their... high school education anyways, but the rest of us, the older ones of us, we didn't. And my brother George was really good in math. He explained algebra to me. I couldn't catch on to algebra. Let X be something. I couldn't understand it. But it made a little sense once he showed me at home.
Do you feel like, I think not many families I know where your grandson still has your property out in Richmond Park, and what do you see happening to that property?
Oh, well.
You know,
there's only so much you can hang on to. He's got a place at Lawrence Lake, which he really likes, right by the lake.
Well, again, from being around you, to hear how Glenn and Monica made a real point to get out with the kids and take these longer trips with them.
They did.
And it seems like that really rubbed off, you know? Imagine if Lindsay wasn't raising little ones. It's a matter of time that's something she and Josh will be doing too once they're a bit older, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I don't think of too many people more outdoorsy and hunting and all that than Cole. He's kind of
he loves this outdoorsy thing,
yeah,
fishing and hunting and